This is Pure Decking, show number 557 for Thursday, March the 21st, 1965. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, ring the game, and Amazon's bullshit ads can get fucked. They're obviously trying to make them as obnoxious as they can, because they're, you know, of course, signing really obnoxious loud ads, and then they're playing them about three times the volume of the show.
And, oh, yeah, YouTube doing the same thing, dude.
Oh, well, I've had that blocked so long I didn't know. But
it's like, oh, I'm only talking about my Roku. I haven't fucked with that. I just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want me to start pirating the handful of things I actually watch on Amazon? Well, that's how you get me to do it. Because Amazon's the last one I was still paying for. And that's actually just because I used Prime for shipping. So it's like, oh, well, they throw this in. I guess we'll use it, right? But
yeah, technically you're paying for it. You might as well use it.
Yeah. So it's also one of these things where I'm not going to be able to cancel it in disgust, cause I still use the shipping and the other stuff. So it's like, damn it. But I will not give them the $3 a month to make the ads go away, cause I do not watch enough Amazon Prime shit to make it worth it. But yeah, they're really obnoxious with those ads. And you watch something on there, it's going, and the ad comes on, and it's like trying to blow out a speaker. It's just like, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, they can get right fucked. Because I believe the answer is going to be to install Plex on the Fire Stick. Or, not Flex, what's the other one? Shoot, I forgot the name of the other alternative, the free one. But, yeah, some video streamer set up my file server. And yo-ho. Anyways, tonight we have an Are You. What's up, Are You?
And not much. Keep in front of the people ripping down the pirate sites. At the holy shit.
Yeah, they're getting... several of the useful ones are gone.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole at the moment.
Well, the other
reason I'm really getting to me is the wife's recently got on board of the ship. And I have to keep up with it because she wants to keep using it. You know? Where most of the time, if I'm having trouble finding something to watch, I'll just go do something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's like, you know, I've been using a VPN because I was having that problem with TeamSpeak. And I'm also noticing a lot of the pirate sites have the VPNs blocked. It's like, that's interesting. I'm noticing a bunch of sites actually have the VPNs blocked. It's like, that's interesting. So... I imagine they get a lot of people trolling and stuff using them, so I get it, but it's just at the same time, it's like, oh, right, that's on. So, anyways.
Yeah, no, this week seems to have been a bit of a rough one for the pirate sites getting hit. I think they're going mainly, not after the sites now, they're going after the hosters.
Yeah.
Like the ones hosting the files.
Yeah, the actual video hosters.
Yeah, that's starting to get real fucking annoying.
All right, back to news groups.
I saw this story floating around earlier today. Yeah, I didn't pay any attention because it's just Apple doing what Apple does.
It's sort of fucking everywhere, so I figured we'd at least talk about it.
I just figured it was people looking for a shakedown payment.
I imagine that's probably what it is, but we'll see what happens. Yep. So this article is from Reuters. U.S. Department of Justice is preparing to sue Apple as soon as Thursday for allegedly violating antitrust laws by blocking rivals from accessing hardware and software features of its iPhone, Bloomberg News reported on Wednesday. Which, this is interesting, because what they're saying is that the iPhone has become such a common platform that Apple, being the only ones with an app store on there, is a monopoly. Not the idea that you can have multiple phones, you know, because you have the iPhone, you have Android, you Nokia brick things. Microsoft has tried a couple of times to, you know, everyone's amusement to get in on that game. But they're saying that the iPhone itself is such a large market that this is now running afoul of anti-monopoly laws. So that's an interesting concept to me, because it's where you start defining markets, right? Because yes, on iPhones and iPads, Apple has a monopoly for providing the App Store. That's true. But is that monopoly applied to the subset of mobile devices of Apple? Or is that, do you say, well, there's other things besides Apple, so if you didn't want to be locked into the App Store, you could get an Android, or you could get a Windows Mobile, I guess, or find an old BlackBerry on eBay. I guess it's really just Apple and Android at this point. But, you know, you have one choice, so you have a duopoly at best. So it's interesting. I don't know. Taking action against big tech has been one of the few ideas that Republicans and Democrats have agreed on. During the Trump administration, which ended on 2021, Justice Department and Federal Trade Commission opened probes into Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon. DOJ spokesperson and Apple did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment. It's not clear what the focus of the charges would be, but the makers of hardware devices like smart trackers maker Tile have long complained that Apple have restricted the ways which they can work with the iPhone sensors while developing competing products that have greater access. Apple began selling Air Tags, which can be attached to items like car keys, blah, blah, blah. Similarly, Apple has restricted access to a chip in the iPhone that allows for contactless payment. I don't know if that's such a bad thing. I don't want every app on my phone being able to rip my credit cards out of it, because the last time I had to update my credit information in my phone for Apple stuff, because the previous card expired, it set up Apple Pay for me, even though I was intentionally not doing that because I didn't want an NFC reader in my phone having my credit cards on it. But yeah, no, it just did it for you. Oh, it's, oh no, we're helping. It's like, no, you're not. You're creating a broader security exposure. I was controlling my perimeter, you assholes. So I've had to go disable that. And let me tell you, the thing, the phone doesn't like it when you turn stuff like that off. You get little pop-ups all the fucking time. Finish setting up your phone. Yeah, go away. Anyways, it's not clear what the phone... Okay, I already read that. Apple has long argued that it restricts access to some user data and some of the iPhone's hardware by third-party developers for privacy and security reasons. Well, the NFC contact one probably makes sense. The iPhone maker has also faced criticisms over its iMessage service, which only works on Apple devices. Critics have complained that the company has disadvantaged messages sent to and received from Android phones by shrinking pictures and videos. Okay, it's true, they do that. That's because they have to send them over the SMS network as opposed to the internet. Last year, Apple changed course and said it will support a new messaging technology called RCS, which has been promoted by Google as a way to make messaging smoother across different types of devices. Late in February, Bloomberg News had reported that Apple representatives met with Justice Department officials in a bid to persuade the agency not to file an antitrust case against the iPhone maker. A new antitrust suit against Apple would be the third by the Justice Department in the past 14 years, but it is the first case accusing the iPhone maker of illegally maintaining its dominant position, Bloomberg reported. Apple is also in the midst of an antitrust tussle with the Fortnite video game maker Epic Games. Earlier in the day, Meta, Microsoft, and Elon's X and Match Group joined Epic Games' protest that Apple has failed to honor a court-ordered injunction governing payments in its lucrative App Store. Technology giants behind some of the most popular apps in the App Store said Apple was, quote, in clear violation, unquote, of the September 2021 injunction by making it difficult to steer consumers to cheaper means to pay for digital content. Justice Department has sued Alphabet's Google twice, once under Republican Donald Trump regarding its search business, and a second time on advertising technology since Democrat Joe Biden took office. FTC sued Facebook during the Trump administration, and Biden's FTC has pressed forward with the lawsuit. So they're just pointing out that it's not really, you know, that's not partisan politics. That's just the government.
As a non-phone user here, so what you're telling me is that if you buy an Apple phone, you're only getting access to Apple Store. Nothing else will work with it, right?
For installing apps, if you're just wanting to load web pages and stuff, you still do that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's like, yeah, but it can only go to the Apple Store for the apps. You can't use
it comes,
third-party apps.
If you want to jailbreak the device, there are ways to do that. Apple tries to prevent it. But it is not an uncommon thing to jailbreak the devices, in which case you can run content from third-party app stores. And most of those are pirate apps, and you're probably going to get malware on the phone doing that too, by the way.
I was going to say, as Joe, straight out of the box, how easy is it for me to jailbreak it?
It depends on how current the YouTube video you find is.
All right, so it takes a little effort.
Yes.
Okay, so you're an Android user, right?
Mm-hmm.
Android has their own store, I take it?
Yeah, they use the Google Play.
The Google Play, and you can use anybody else's? Can I go get an app from somewhere else?
That varies by device. That gets interesting on Android.
What I'm hearing is if you decide as the consumer to spend your money with Apple, you know you're going to be corralled within the Apple store and be limited to going anywhere else, right?
Correct.
As an Android buyer, I know I've got a little bit more freedom and I'm not as much stuck in the corral.
That's not, you don't know that. Samsung devices will come with the Google Play Store and the Samsung App Store on them. But getting any other app store on them can be a right pain in the butt.
So either way, if I pick one or the other, I'm getting pinned in.
Yeah, you're going to be locked in for most of them. Some Androids will claim they're open, and you can just put whatever you want on them. A lot of the cheap third-party stuff from China won't even have the Google stuff on it because they didn't actually, go through Google, and they're worried about, lawsuits. You have to manually load.
This is what I'm trying to figure out more. This is like they're going for an antitrust thing here.
Yeah.
But as the consumer, I know I've got one or two choices, and either way, I'm fenced in. There's little to no option. Opt out.
I don't think
there's a trust suit here. You know exactly what you're buying when you buy an Apple.
Yes, you do.
You know you're getting corralled. So it's a consumer choice. I don't believe that they've got any leg to stand on. And because it's a bipartisanship thing, everybody's standing to make money.
I will tell you this. My job, I have to have a cell phone. Like, I don't have a choice in the matter. I have to have one. It is a requirement for my daily, day-to-day operations. Primarily, not for what you're thinking. Most people think, you need a cell phone to take calls in case your boss needs to get a hold of you, right? No.
No, you need it to access the system if you're not exactly in front of...
Well, that is a heavy use of the... But no, that's not actually what the requirement for my job comes from. It's the two-factor authentication. I have to four different two-factor authentication apps to get into various things at work. And they don't have, like, if I said I don't have a phone, they would say go buy one. You make enough money. Now, theoretically, I could go buy a tablet and not get a cell phone plan, but I have to have a mobile device with internet access to run four different mobile authenticators for multi-factor for work.
Okay.
So
what you're buying.
Uh-huh.
If the consumer is informed and they know exactly what they're getting for their product, their money, how can it be an antitrust thing?
Because you don't have a choice.
Both players are doing it.
So what
both players are doing it. There is no other choice. You're telling me you're being forced into doing this stuff.
It actually fits into a trust quite well if they were to try to sue both Google and Apple for it. But again, Android gets a little confusing because multiple hardware makers sell Android devices.
Yeah.
Amazon, for example, they have all their Fire tablets and stuff like that. Those are Android tablets. But they don't have any of the Google stuff on them at all. They don't have the Google Play Store. They don't have your Google apps installed by default. And they have an Amazon app store. And they've got those somewhat locked down. It's a bit of a pain to get another app store on them. Now, that said, on most Android devices, you can put them into what's called developer mode and unlock them fairly easily. You just have to know where it is. They don't have an option in the menu that says developer mode. You basically go into settings, about, scroll down to the version of Android and tap on it like 10 times, and then it'll pop up and say you're now a developer. and you get options for like run unsigned code, and then you can just sideload whatever you want over a USB cable or just by copying the files onto the phone, right?
Yeah.
And Apple's loosened up. You know, you can put an app on the phone to like write your own Python code and pull things in off the internet and stuff like that, but it's not, it's still like, if you just want to install an app for your average consumer, not somebody who's going to dig around in there and understand how these things work or figure out how to unlock a phone, because that's the next question. Most consumers don't even know that jailbreaking a phone or rooting an Android or putting it in developer mode so you can sideload code is even a thing, because none of the manufacturers will tell you about that shit out of the box, especially if you're a consumer. If you're a developer, the Android stuff has it documented, but you have to go looking for it. So in either case, you're locked in. So in fact, I feel like it, there's a trust case. You know, you've basically got a duopoly between, you know, Android and iPhone on mobile devices. So you might have a trust between those two, but a trust is hard to prove if there's no, you know, coordination between them. In this case, they're all just doing identical practices and going for vendor lock. So I don't know how far this case is going to go. I do think, like you were saying earlier, this is probably just a cash grab. They're trying to shake Apple down for a big fiat fine.
Yep.
But it's interesting because this article is written in such a way that makes me think they're treating the iPhone and iPad ecosystem like it's a independent market, independent from the larger mobile device market, right? And saying, oh, well, no, yeah, you've got a monopoly because you're the only ones in the who, you know, you can buy apps from on the iPhone. And yeah, I mean, the iPhone was like half of all mobile devices for the longest time. I don't know if it still is or not. I haven't looked at the stats lately. But yeah, it's interesting to me that they're looking at it like that. And I don't know that it's wrong. I don't know that I disagree with treating it that way, because it is a large portion of mobile device users that are locked in. Because you're right, you're locked into one or the other. And theoretically, you know that when you buy it. But I will tell you, at work, they heavily say, oh yeah, just go get an iPhone. And it's like, well, what if I like Android better? It's like, yeah, but a lot of our stuff works better on iPhone. So you get pretty heavily pressured. Now, again, from a legal standpoint, they'll say, well, you don't have to keep that job. It's like, well, my house payment and my car payment might disagree with you, but
yeah.
Which, of course, then, well, you don't have to keep your house. You don't have to keep your job. It's like, well, now, wait a minute here. So, you know, I know those arguments can go round and round like that, but I think you should be aware when you're buying one of these devices that, you know, you are buying into a closed ecosystem. And if you're okay with that, if it's got what you need in it and you're willing to deal with it, that's up to you. I feel like you should have the choice. Forcing Apple to open up the app stores, like allow other app stores on the iPhone market, interesting. I don't necessarily have any major objections to that. Forcing Apple to open up components of the phone, especially the security stuff, I question. Especially the mobile payment stuff, because that seems like you're begging for malware to get on the phones and just start stealing everybody's, you know, Apple Pay shit.
Yeah.
So that one's interesting. So, but they haven't actually filed the case, and they may not. And like you said, they might just plant a big fine on Apple, call it a day, and nothing actually changes, right?
So exactly.
Next up, this one's from Tech Radar. Microsoft is now blocking Russian firms from using its cloud services. This is just kind of funny. Microsoft will stop providing cloud services to users in Russia later this week as part of the sanctions package imposed on the country by its Western peers. The company has set up a dedicated Telegram channel to support its clients and urged everyone to make backups of their data as soon as possible. You know, how long have we been messing with Russia and they're just now complying with the sanctions order?
Yeah.
Company said Power BI, Dynamic CRM are just some of the tools that are no longer be available to Russian customers on March 20th. As per the reports, Elena Votosky, VP for investments at the Russian IT company Softline, confirmed the news, saying that all Microsoft clients received a warning letter earlier this month. Votoskaya also said that other major global cloud providers, Amazon and Google, will soon follow in Microsoft's footsteps for the same reason, and that local companies should switch to local providers if they haven't done so already. While disruptive, the news shouldn't be much of a surprise to anyone in Russia, claims General Director of the Basalt SBO company, Alexei Smirnov. I never know if they're making these names up or not.
Either do I.
I mean, Alexei Smirnov, really?
I know, right?
It could be the dude's name, and I don't mean to be mean to him. It sounds like the name a drunk American would make up, because Alexei sounds like a Russian name, and Smirnov is on the shelf over there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the 12th sanctions package, part of which is the removal of Western cloud services, was adopted on December 19th, 2023. Oh, so we just now passed that one. So Russian firms had roughly 3 months to prepare for the inevitable. Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine more than 2 years ago, Ukraine's Western allies, the U.S. majority of the EU countries and more, have been pressuring Russia into giving up on its special military operation through economic sanctions while giving Ukraine significant military. It's a proxy war. Call it what it is, for God's sake. arguably, we're not actually over there fighting, but we're funding them, giving them bullets and cheerleading from the sideline. How is that not a proxy war? Oh, and we do have people on the ground over there. They're just called mercenaries, not, you know, soldiers.
Or consultants.
Yeah, that one. Special consultants and training.
Exactly.
Well, we sold them the missile system. We have to show them how to use it safely. Because, you know, you want to use your missiles safely.
That's the number one thing I think of when I'm using missiles is safety. Am I OSHA compliant?
OSHA will come for you. Oh, that was the best joke I heard. Jeez, that was ages ago. Working at a automotive part manufacturer, somebody walks in the door, and one of the shipping guys, you know, we went back there, and somebody said to one of the shippers, "How'd you get everything on the truck so fast?" And he just looked at him deadpan, mostly OSHA violations. It's great.
Let's say you get special treatment.
Yep,
get a hat on that says OSHA.
Yeah, I understand they have death squads that come around looking for your forklift licenses.
Yep.
Anyways, arguably the biggest disruption in the Russian market was caused by the country's removal of the SWIFT financial transaction processing system. The two biggest card and payment service providers, Visa and MasterCard, have also quit the market. See, now that's kind of dumb, because what we're doing is we're forcing Russia to isolate, right? Like every service, all the financial services, all of the cloud providers. So they're not going to have any, if they're not going to have any market ties to the rest of the world, because everybody's doing sanctions with them, they're going to start doing business with China. They're going to use Chinese banks. They're going to use Chinese transaction systems. They're going to use Chinese cloud providers. Is that really a good idea to get those two in bed with each other?
You have to ask the UN, dude.
Yeah, but they're all not very smart.
No, they're not. No one's very smart in this at all. You know, it's maybe a little question of, are we the baddies this time? Just saying.
Well, I don't think anybody's the good guys in this conversation. So
also, too, when you just walk in and go, yeah, by the way, all that money you've got in the international market, that's ours now. You just stole a sovereign country's fucking wealth funds. That's probably not cool, because other people will see you doing that and they're going to go, you know what? We're not going to bank with them. It's sort of like the whole, yeah, we're going to take Trump Tower. Yeah, do it. Do it and watch business fucking flee from that state, because the state's just walking around seizing fucking private property.
Businesses are fleeing New York, not just the Trump thing. It's been going on, though.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't be seizing fucking sovereign wealth funds that aren't fucking yours.
What's the guy's name on he does a YouTube channel. He used to Mac repairs. What the hell's the guy's name? Rossman. No. Lewis Rossman. They ran him out of New York last year. He's done several videos on it where basically the tax authority and some different codes enforcement were basically harassing him until they were just trying to get money out of him, but they were basically trying to get more money and tax penalties out of him than he had. It was like, yeah, you know, you're not going to have a business when this is done. So he, you know, disputed everything and then moved his business to Texas. And I can't blame him. It's like the city's literally just looking for excuse to come after him. And I imagine they're probably doing that to tons of people.
I mean, if this isn't deliberate, what they've been doing, then holy shit, these people are stupider than I thought.
Well, they're not thinking in those terms. They're thinking of how do I enrich myself? They're not looking at what it's doing.
This is the instant gratification game. That's why kids are so anxious and shit like that, is because they've got instant gratification in the phone.
So
it's just, yeah, take Trump Tower. Let's if we're gonna do this, let's fucking party, man.
It's like well, what do you mean you couldn't have secure a $500 million bond? Because I don't think anybody's secured a bond more that size ever, but okay.
Yeah,
sure,
exactly. Like I'm not just saying, it's not just that though, it's the seizing sovereign wealth funds, you know, seizing your private fucking oligarchs boats and shit that just happen to be on a friendly harbor. It doesn't smack of freedom, if you know what I mean. It doesn't smack of justice either.
Well, certainly we're still sticking to our ideals.
What's stopping you seizing the UK's sovereign wealth if you get into a dispute with them? Or Canada's, or Australia's, or New Zealand's. I don't know, it's starting to look like we shouldn't be allies with you guys running around fucking with the financial system. You see where the questions start coming in?
I don't have answers, dude.
I mean, it's a great way to destabilize your allies. Hey, maybe just blow up a pipeline that, you know, relies 90% on their energy. That's top ally work, isn't it?
Well, it is kind of weird that... you know,
I'm not having a go at you, Morps, and I'm not having a go at the United States. I'm having a go at the people who are making these decisions. Like, are you seriously fucked in the head?
It does kind of feel like they're doing exactly what you would do if you were trying to, I don't know, kick off some sort of large-scale conflict.
If I'm playing Civilization, right, and I love playing Civ on big maps, I don't want to go to war. I'm going to pay a vassal to attack you. All right, and then I'm going to stop trading with you until I break you financially and you can't afford reinforcements, and then I'm richer than you and I crush you. That's how that game is played. It seems like we're playing that exact same game. If there's a force unseen making retarded fucking decisions to break them.
I don't know that it's an unseen force. It's just a lot of people trying to enrich themselves and not really understanding the macro effects of what they're doing.
They have to, because if I can see it, they must be able to see it as well. And I don't care how much money you have, eventually it's going to come to your doorstep too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you there. But I'm just thinking in terms of most people who gravitate and do well in politics are usually clinical psychopaths.
Yeah, I'm aware of the psychopath sociopath dynamic.
Yeah,
and as I said, there's a war between both of those right now,
so I kind of wonder if that's, yeah, anyways, I don't know, I have no answers. I'm looking at it too going, the fuck are we doing?
So that's what I mean. It's really fucking bizarre when you're watching this and you're going, this is short-term suicide. But anyway, let's do the next story.
Next story is from CNN. New York State judge on Monday denied a motion to dismiss a lawsuit against several social media companies, alleging the platforms contributed to the radicalization of a gunman who killed 10 people at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York in 2022, court documents show. Quote, the court has determined that the complaint sufficiently pleads viable causes of action to go forward at this stage of litigation, unquote, said Erie County Supreme Court Justice Paula Ferroletto. Ferroletto? I don't know. In her decision, the judge said the plaintiffs may proceed with their lawsuit, which claims social media companies like Meta, Alphabet, Reddit, and 4chan, quote, profit from the racist, anti-Semitic, and violent material displayed on their platforms to maximize user engagement, unquote, including the time then 18-year-old Peyton Grinden spent on the platforms viewing the material. Attorneys for social media companies named in the lawsuit filed a motion to dismiss, saying the companies are akin to message boards containing third-party content, court documents show. Quote, however, plaintiffs contend the defendants' platforms are more than just message board, unquote, court document says. Quote, they allege they are sophisticated products designed to be addictive to young users, and they specifically detected or directed Gendron to further platforms or postings that indoctrinated him with, quote, white replacement theory, unquote, unquote, the decision read. quote, it's far too early to rule as a matter of law that the actions or inactions of the social media internet defendants through their platforms require dismissal, unquote, said the judge. CNN has reached out to Meta for comment. YouTube spokesperson Jose Castaneda provided a statement to CNN expressing sympathy for the victims and families of the attack, saying that YouTube has invested in technology and policies to identify and remove extremist content. Quote, while we disagree with today's decision and we will be appealing, we will continue to work with law enforcement, other platforms, and civil society to share intelligence and best practices, unquote, the statement said. In a statement to CNN, Reddit said, quote, hate and violence have no place on Reddit. You haven't been reading Reddit, have you? Our statewide policies explicitly prohibit content that promotes hate based on identity or vulnerability, as well as content that encourages, glorifies, incites, or calls for violence or physical harm against an individual or group of people. We are constantly evaluating blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, market speak, marketing speak, marketing speak. Reddit plans to appeal the decision. So, pretty much, you know, I mentioned the story a couple of weeks ago when the lawsuit first was filed, saying I wanted to follow it. So that's kind of why we're doing the update. But yeah. I'm a little surprised the judge didn't just flat out dismiss it based on Section 230 alone. But they're saying no, that you can that these platforms are might be responsible for radicalizing somebody over the internet, which I have a hard time with because. Show me where they duct taped you down and made you read Reddit articles all day long, right?
Yeah, nobody should be forced to do that. That's terrible.
Okay. That point aside, I mean,
I'm here on 4chan of my own volition.
I mean, the thing is, this is.
I'd just like to say I know nothing about Boeing safety records or anything about the Clintons. This is a ridiculous fucking lawsuit, Morps.
Well, it's one of these things where, you know, you feel bad for what happened, but the problem here is that Chucklefuck, who went out there with the gun and shot people up, was someone who couldn't distinguish shitposting from reality, or probably had a lot of other things wrong with them.
Well, I'd like to bring a lawsuit against the school system for not creating an environment of critical thinking.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
If you sit on 4chan, Reddit, or anything like that, and you read everything verbatim and believe it, you're a fucking idiot. I mean, why shoot other people? Just shoot yourself. Save the world a fucking problem.
You know, when you read one of those engaging, interesting stories on there, and then you look at it, and you think about it for 5 minutes, and you might go, that story's great, but why would that person post it here? Why would this be posted, like, you know, places where college kids would be reading it? Why wouldn't it, you know, if it's really somebody who's in their 50s, like this article says it is, or the post says it is, why isn't it on Facebook? You know what I mean?
Or, I mean, what's the other one? The freelance authors go there and post their Substack.
Yeah.
You know, why not write a Substack? But you could argue Substack radicalized people as well.
Well, it's just, I read something on Reddit the other day that was like this engaging post. It was really interesting read, but it's also obviously fiction because it was written by somebody claiming to be in their 50s, having, you know, survived this terrible life. But it's like, okay, but somebody who's lived the life that they're writing about wouldn't be posting on Reddit asking for validation.
No, it's clearly fantasy.
Yeah. Or somebody's creative writing exercise.
Yeah.
But it's like nobody's... If you've got somebody who's nuts enough to sit there and read all that shit and think it's real and not just people shit posting on the internet...
Something's failed you with your critical thinking skills.
Well, I'm... You know, this... I don't like the social media companies, and I think it would be fun to watch them squirm in the lawsuit. But I don't actually think they're the ones responsible here. I think the person responsible is the one who is shooting people.
Well,
and I think that person was probably mentally unwell.
Is the local library responsible for Ted Leszczynski? Because that's where he got all his thoughts, reading books.
Yeah, them things are dangerous. You're only supposed to be burning those.
Yeah, Ted Leszczynski is a Unabomber, if anyone didn't know.
His manifesto is kind of interesting, though.
It is a very good manifesto, actually. He's not fucking wrong on a lot of things.
Good old Professor Ted.
He may have landed a little far right or left on thought, but you know, he's had some interesting thing on technology. Reading posts on and shit posting and looking at pictures and shit like that doesn't radicalize you. You're fucking broken to start with. And especially if you think going out hurting people en masse is going to wake the world up or whatever fucking point you were trying to get across.
This is somebody who's obviously built up a fiction in their head.
They're living in a fantasy world.
Yeah, their entire world is filtered through that fantasy. And whereas what they did is tragic and unfortunate, and they deserve to be turned off for it, I don't think it's the fault of people on the internet, because if Facebook could radicalize people to start shooting up things because of what they say, great replacement theory,
as we like to call it, the UN migration document.
You'd have a lot more people doing it. It wouldn't be one isolated incident of somebody and then them finding the browser history and saying, oh, look at all this crap they were reading. I mean, how many active users does 4chan have a day?
Oh, I wouldn't know, dude. I think it's all bots now. I think I'm the last human left.
No, well, that's entirely possible. Dead internet theory and all. But...
Exactly.
My point is, it would be with the amount of user traffic these sites have, if they truly could radicalize people who weren't already damaged, as you were saying, you'd see a lot more of these incidents.
Yeah. I think you would too.
It's sort of like violent video games. You don't see kids reenacting Mortal Kombat in the street and ripping each other's head off and throwing spears at each other.
You looked at New York lately?
Well, okay, that's a fair point.
Sorry, I had to post reality there.
Okay, things might be going down here lately, but up until a couple of years ago, it was fairly easy to tell the difference between reality and what was on the screen.
Yeah, it's... I try and read as many manifestos of crazed fuckers as I can. Just... I don't know, I'm not looking for meaning or message or anything. I just want to try and glimpse at what the fuck they were thinking, you know? That's why I'm happy that the judge 2 days ago said to the FBI they have to post the tranny shooters manifesto.
Didn't a couple of pages of that get leaked?
I don't know if it was real or not.
Oh, okay.
That's, you can't tell if it's real. I mean, but if it was, like, it's going to be as crazed as the Norwegian chick that fucking was going to shoot some shit up. Like, her manifesto was long, and it contradicted itself from start to finish. She couldn't keep a straight thought in her head.
Yeah, that's somebody off their meds.
Well, the thing was is that they held contradictory ideas, and that's, I think, was driving them fucking nuts. They couldn't pick a lane. They were trying to drive down both sides of the street at the same time. And it caused mass confusion. And that's why they got frustrated, and we're going to shoot the place up. I'm thinking I'm going to see the same thing with his tranny shooters. Is she's going to, he or it or he or whatever, is going to blame the church, white people, my racism, and my climate change.
I think the leaked pages talked about that stuff, so who knows?
Yeah. A lot of shit, too, I think, driving youngins up the fucking wall is the climate monster constantly being thrown at them. You know, you're the last generation. It's all, there's no hope. Everything sucks.
Well, that's why people think it's okay to cut up art and throw soup at it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What a terrible way of thinking, where in my youth it was like, we're going to go to the stars. We're going to do fusion. We're going to break the genome sequence. We were doing all these cool things. And now it's like, well, the climate monster's here. Your life sucks. Don't have kids. Eat shit. Stay in your house. And by the way, here's a mobile phone. Try not to shoot your school up.
Oh, well, let's continue that trend with this other article you sent me.
Exactly.
This is from this one. This is the one you sent me, gettotext.com, the French thing.
Oh, yeah. And this crazy bitch comes along.
If Najat Vallaud Belkacem?
I'll give you 5 points for that. That was well done.
I was trying. Wanted to start a controversy. She couldn't have gone about it better. The former socialist minister, national education, women's rights, and sport, now president of France's Terre d'Hostel and director of the NGO One, signs an article published in Le Figaro this Monday, March 18th, 2024, in which she calls to ration the internet. Now, to be fair, this is a proposal by an NGO. This is not even a law. This is never going to pass here anyways. This is never, I don't think it's going to pass in France either.
Got your dirty mouth, Morps.
But it's an interesting thing to talk about. Because, among other things, quote, like all big topics, unquote, such as harassment, inequities, discrimination, or ecology, are linked to the internet. How's ecology linked to the internet?
The climate monster's in everything, Morps. Get used to it.
And she sees it as an aggravating factor in many problems. This woman, because I'm not going to try to say that name again, asks herself a question, quote, do we need that much internet, unquote. The former minister believes that it is impossible to make the platforms and all those who have the power to impose the right limits listen to reason. Quote, the constraint must come from elsewhere, therefore from the law, therefore from the state, unquote, she adds. What was it, Socialist Party? Yeah, okay, that tracks. The one who is also regional counselor for names, Augvergen Road Alps, therefore believed in internet rationing. Quote, for example, by granting a limited number of gigabytes to be used daily, unquote, the elected official suggests the possibility of a 3 gigabyte per week limit and per French person, justifying her idea by the fact that by being restricted, the roughest internet users will spend less time and hours, quote, to post hateful comments or create fakes, unquote, or on pornographic sites to watch videos in Ultra HD. We can't control it, so limit it to 3 gigabytes a day. Make it useless.
Oh, I'm going to use my 3 gigabytes worth of info to go on every message board I can fucking find and just type the letter N and walk away. every day, you know, until I get my usage back. This isn't going to fucking stop shitposting. This is just going to make people think harder before they shitpost and make it better. It's a ridiculous idea.
This person... go ahead.
Do you realize that Jeff Bezos may have to kill her? think about it. This would crush commerce.
Oh, absolutely.
It would kill international banking.
Well,
oh, but hang on. No, socialist. That's not for those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Socialist.
So. Exactly. It's just control.
This person pushes her idea quite far, even invoking the more or less realistic side of the measure, questioning in particular the applicability to companies, whether there would be exemptions, etc. However, if the crazy race to produce data raises questions and is not without consequences for the ecology, ARCEP, or the telecoms regulator, has already made a glaring observation. The French and the rest of the world consume more and more data. Last year, consumption per average 4G customer was around 15.9 gigabytes a month in France, or 1.3 gigabytes more compared to the previous year. According to the figures...
Rookie numbers, man. Rookie numbers.
What, also, too, most of these people probably don't use personal computers that much. Most of their consumption is through their phones.
Yeah.
And with... Okay, it goes on. Not to be the last to use social networks, spending hours on the phone in the evening, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, okay, that's the gist of the article. Basically, the socialist wants to ration the internet down to 3 gigabytes a week because they don't like what's on it.
That's it.
But it's a fun idea to play with because if you were limited to 3 gigabytes a week, one, you would see a lot of web pages cut back on all the shit and go back to basic text interfaces. Because that would cut down a lot of use.
Yes.
Two, you're right. You wouldn't stop shit posting. And three, you have a whole new crime to, you know, go after of, you know, people who find ways to circumvent the 3 gigabyte limit. Or four, or you're going to have to impose some sort of a national ID and tracking system on everyone who uses the internet to ensure they haven't gone over their limit.
And what you haven't seen, Morps, is the explosion of people like me who would have banks and banks and banks of hard drives going around selling digital shit to people.
No, you'd have that like that thing in Cuba. You'd have this whole underground network of just off-network bullshit.
I mean, think about it. Yeah, it's going to be really shitty for the normie, but for the tech enthusiast and the tech casher and stuff like that, it is going to be great.
Be like the days of high school, selling burned CDs to people who
had homes. Selling pornography on the building site to dudes who didn't know how to use a computer. Oh, that was, I mean, bank, man. It would be an interesting experiment. Let's say take 10,000 people, put them in an fenced area and only give them 3 gig a week. And see how the social implications unfold.
Didn't South Park do an episode like that?
Yeah, the internet went out. It was refugee camps everywhere. It was a great episode.
Yep. The giant Linksys router that they found on the ground that provides the internet. Anyways. next article is from AP. Chinese authorities have begun deploying a new surveillance tool. Gait recognition software that uses people's body shapes and how they walk to identify them, even when their faces are hidden from cameras. Okay. The reason I want to talk about this one is because it's totally referenced in Ghost in the Shell, where like they were using that as part of an identification in Ghost in the Shell for a suspect. And it turns out the guy had been cloned a whole bunch of times. But two, gait recognition, body shape, and how you walk. Do you know how many false positives this is going to generate? Well, okay, let's be real. This is a noise generator. This is for their. Yeah. This is to give them the excuse to go arrest whoever they want. Oh no, we caught you on the surveillance system as your gait was recognized leaving the whatever the hell the area that you weren't supposed to be in. Therefore, here you are off to the camps with you.
Yeah, how did you catch me? Well, you had your phone with you, and we saw you on the camera, and you had your face covered because you were hiding from the cameras.
So if you ever look up how polygraphs work, they don't detect lies. They make noise. They are noise generators. The person that's doing the lie, or the person that's quote unquote running the lie detector, that's the lie detector. It's the person. They're making judgment calls based on how you answer, and they're using the machine to generate noise so that you will respond to it. So these things to me just read as the exact same thing. It's like a polygraph. It makes noise so that they can use that as justification for what they're doing.
It's almost here. It's nearly finished. The digital cage that you've built yourself in is nearly done.
That said, it'd be a great excuse to make sure you wear an oversized coat, hunch over, and walk funny when you're going to do something. So, Department of Silly Walks is now a thing. Already used by the police in the streets of Beijing and Shanghai, gate recognition is part of a push across China to develop artificial intelligence and data-driven surveillance that is raising concern about how far the technology will go. Wang Yongzhen, CEO of Waitrix, said that its system can identify people from up to 50 meters or 165 feet away, even with their backs turned and face covered. This can fill a gap in facial recognition, which needs close-up, high-resolution images of a person's face to work. Quote, "You don't need people's cooperation for us to be able to recognize their identity," unquote, Wang said in an interview in his Beijing office. Quote, "Gate analysis can't be fooled by simply limping, walking with splay feet, or hunching over because we're analyzing all the features of an entire body," unquote. Oh, I'd love to get my hands on that system and play with it. So I'll bet we can
see how foolproof it is.
Yeah, this is a CEO selling his product, so just keep that in mind.
Oh, whoops. Great idea for business. Okay, it's going to take a small pump, some fabric like those wacky inflatable waving fucking dudes on the highway.
Just walking around with the third arm.
We put extra arms on you, and they just wave around independently. That'll fuck with, I bet.
Well, we knew it was you because you were the only person in the gate recognition system with four arms.
Okay, I see a hole in my plan. You're going to need a mass take-up of this.
Antifa's got the right idea here, Black Bloc. You need masses of people all dressed the same, all participating in the... I don't mean Antifa's got the right idea as far as their politics. I just mean for getting around surveillance.
Start wearing large cardboard boxes like a robot. That way you can't read your structure.
Yeah.
Only get in the box.
Walk around in those inflatable Halloween costumes, the giant sumo wrestler.
I'm not seeing the shit part of this future. Okay. It's going to be dystopian. I know that. That's making it a little bit more pleasant. Okay.
Inflatable sumo costume and a Mandalorian mask. Got it.
There it is.
Chinese police are using facial recognition to identify people in crowds and nab jaywalkers. Really? Nothing better to do than to go after the jaywalkers? And are developing an integrated national system of surveillance camera data. Not everyone is comfortable with gate recognition's use. Security officials in China's far western province of Xinjiang, a region whose Muslim population is already subject to intense surveillance and control, have expressed interest in the software.
Imagine my shock right where the camps are.
So that you can commit a crime and say the images were AI. Oh, God. Okay. Al Hazard has a great post in the IRC. He said there's this thing they sell. It's a ring with fake fingers attached to it so that when you get pictures of crimes being committed, you can say, no, that's AI generated. Look at the hands.
Yeah.
That's great. Si Susi, a Chinese columnist and commentator, almost said communist there.
He is a communist. Probably. He has to be.
Says it's unsurprising that technology is catching on in China faster than the rest of the world because of Beijing's emphasis on social control. Quote, "Using biometric recognition to maintain social stability and manage society is an unstoppable trend," unquote, he said. Quote, "It's great business," unquote. So I'm not going to keep going for the rest of the article here. It's pretty standard stuff. Essentially, the software gets the person's silhouette from the video and then analyzes it over several frames, because the theory being that how you walk, your body shape and all that stuff isn't really going to change. I feel like if it's working on silhouettes and shapes, I mean, you and I had several good ideas for fucking with it. So that'd be fun to play with, at least. But it doesn't surprise me. We'll see more of that and more things like that. Eventually, they'll just, you know, give up on all the crazy sci-fi stuff and just, you know, oh, where's your tag? You don't have your tag. Hang on. We got to implant your tag. And they'll just, you know, at birth, here's your tag. Hang from your ear. Bah. Anyways, next up is from bigrigs.com.au. This one is, the failure of a SA safety cam system to correctly adjust for daylight savings changes ended in a surprise court summons and a costly legal bill for a distraught veteran interstate truckie. Allendale-based Kim Audie has since had the charge of recording false or misleading entry after allegedly traveling between safety cam sites in less than the allowable time withdrawn, and had parts of the cost awarded against the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator. Parts. But with the clocks again set to change back around much of Australia on April 7th, Audi has come forward with his story as a warning to others. Quote, how many other drivers around Australia have been falsely charged because of daylight savings changes and the NHVR missed and just paid the fine, wonders Audi. And quote, and how can NHVR get it so wrong when daylight savings changes time twice a year and has done so for many years, unquote. Audi's orders or ordeal relates to an April 2023 return run. It took another 9 months for the summons to arrive from Adelaide to Perth, a regular weekly journey. As later verified by his company's telematics information, Audi departed from Adelaide late on Saturday.
April Adelaide.
1st. I'm sorry, Adelaide? Thank you.
Adelaide.
Yep. Thank you. I went to an American school, so, you know, explains my pronunciation of all this shit, right?
Man, it's not like you read the word every fucking day.
Yeah. He drove through the first three safety cams, Bolivar, Port Augusta, Stirling North, and Penang, without raising a red flag on the NHVR system. But by the time he got to the fourth, and 4 hours later at Border Village, the clocks had gone back an hour. So he was driving when the time changed, right?
Yeah.
Quote, so they thought he'd gone through an hour earlier than he should have done, unquote, explains Murray O'Neill, the driver compliance coordinator for the transport company. Quote, they're saying he went through in 3 hours instead of four. You'd think that would ring some alarm bells instead of charging him. Wouldn't you think they'd haul the truck over the pits and check the speed limiter, unquote. Yeah, they thought he time traveled, okay?
essentially, he would have been having to do the speed limit 2.5 times.
It's like, so I don't think it's doing physically
250 miles an hour in an 18 wheeler and no one fucking noticed.
I don't think it's physically possible for it to go that fast.
No, those rigs are governed. They can't go over 110.
I mean, even if you rip the governor out, I don't think the engine's going to get that much weight up that fast in that period of time.
Yeah, I can't see it.
What'd you put in there? Jet fuel? I mean, just straight moonshine? Yeah. What the fuck are you running in there? It ain't diesel.
How it even got to court? And also, too, the trucks are tagged with GPS that are constantly monitoring them. So the GPS would have the constant maintaining speed over the entire time registered. This should not even come close to court. The company itself should have disputed on behalf of the driver. But you know what the company's done? Fuck it. Give it to the driver. We don't want to waste our time with it.
When the shock summons landed on January 24th, 2024, just 3 weeks before the scheduled court date in Adelaide, and a potential maximum penalty of $11,820, O'Neill did his best to reassure Audie that the telecommatics data was on his side, but the incident quickly snowballed. So they sent this guy an $11,000 bill because he happened to be driving on the highway when the clocks changed.
Yeah.
A solicitor had to be engaged to explain the situation at the NHVR, yet according to the documentation cited by Big Rigs, the regulators still insisted there was a basis for a false and misleading offense in the same 24-hour period. So they're charging him with lying to them.
Yeah, fuck you, pay us, is what they're saying.
Yeah. Audie said that because the regulator had also mistakenly adjusted safety tam times before the clocks changed. So they fucked up when they did it. Quote, we all know that the time zone in which you commence the trip has to be used for the entire trip, unquote. Audie finally received confirmation on February 15th that the NHVR prosecutor had withdrawn the charges, with part costs awarded against the regulator. But to add salt in the wounds, 6 days later, a notice of penalty relating to the same incident arrived, $800 payable within 28 days, alerting Audie to the fact that he was to be convicted in his absence. So in other words, they just ignored the court and they were going to fine him anyways.
The reason they're not going to budge on this, because if this guy wins, then everybody else has a claim.
Quote, for whatever reason, the paperwork wasn't handled correctly, and now I have paperwork advising that the change was withdrawn and not that the defendant was convicted in his absence, unquote. Audie added, quote, thanks to modern technology, my employer's assistance, notice the assistance from the employee, the matter was able to be cleared up. However, it did take time and a certain amount of stress and anguish is involved. Quote, it's not a good thing to be preparing for a 5,400-kilometer return trip and dealing with what I believed was a never-ending process that kept throwing curveballs at me. It also hardly seems fair to be out of pocket to prove one's innocence when it was all due to an error by the NHVR, unquote. Raymond Hassel, NHVR Executive Director of Statutory Compliance, told Big Rigs that the regulator accepts responsibility for the, quote, work and rest hours calculation error, unquote, that occurred. But following a review of 1,000 safety cam notices issued within 14 days of the daylight savings changes last year, Hassel says Audie appears to be the only driver affected. We investigated ourselves, and that was the only one we found. Camera sighting data is collected in UTC time. If a potential offense is detected, the images undergo a review process. As Saul said, the incident was received correctly from a safety cam system. However, a calculation error occurred during the review process. So one of your processors fucked up. And he still had to pay his parts of his legal fees for this. Quote, the NHVR has implemented process improvements to help prevent similar incidents from occurring in the future, unquote. Other drivers believe they received an incorrect notice during the daylight savings changeover on April 2nd. Hassel encourages them to contact NHVR at prosecutions@nhvr.gov.au. I mean, that's fucked up, man. They know they did it wrong, and they still ended up making him pay parts of it.
Yeah, because if they said he did nothing wrong, it's an admission of guilt. And the 1,100 other people who got fined $11,000 for the exact same glitch, who didn't contest it, would be proven right.
So,
fucking Ring of Steel. I hate that fucking thing. I drive around him if I can.
I gotcha. Well, you'll probably have people start going out there and just spray painting the damn cameras.
They're at 30, 40 foot up.
I don't know. In Germany, they were getting some of those cameras in really weird looking.
Yeah, no, these are just watching the time there, Morps.
Ah, yeah. All right. Just real quick, Microsoft is testing putting Copilot features into Windows 11's File Explorer. So they'll be sending the contents of your hard drive off to their servers so that they can use their AI on it. Apparently, you could be able to right-click files and send it up so you can talk to the bot about the files. And since they probably plan on running this through their cloud service and not locally, that means the contents of your files are going to have to go to the cloud service, which is why I wanted to put this on there. Hopefully you'll be able to turn it off. Hopefully. I don't know. On that Surface I was playing with, that I actually did things the way Microsoft wants, I'm constantly getting the occasional pop-up saying, oh, import your data into this. Import, you know, it's just basically Microsoft begging for more data constantly. It's like, what the fuck, man? So, anyways, we'll do this. This is a cool project. It's called Hidden VM. It's from the A Forensics GitHub registry. This is a set of scripts that set up VirtualBox and a VeraCrypt volume with the anti-forensics and the plausible deniability. I was blanking on what it's called. Basically, it's an encrypted operating system in a VM on top of Tails. So, if you really want to hide your operating system, what you're doing, this thing is a good way to do it, because it's on to Tails, which already doesn't save anything. It then loads up a virtual machine in an encrypted VeraCrypt volume, and now you can run this app image and run your hidden VM from your VeraCrypt volume. Yeah, it's really cool. It's basically VirtualBox wrapped up in an app image, but it's set up to run on top of Tails so that you can basically have hidden virtual machines and leave very little trace and just have them in that, you know, plausible deniability VeraCrypt volume. And they've got pretty good instructions here on the website of how to use all of this. So I thought it was cool. Haven't had a chance to really play with it that much, but the neat use of a combination of things. Probably won't be super performant, but if you're going through the trouble of running all this, you probably don't care that it's not gaming. So anyways, I got a kick out of it, but that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream we're always working on, Pure Decking every Thursday. I say that I may or may not be off next Thursday. We might take next Thursday off. Haven't made up my mind on that yet, but we might. Basically depends on whether or not I'm traveling. And Galaxy 15 Radio Site, the BBS, the IRC, in the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, Psychros, myself, Neurobash, Sard, and she. Are you? Closing thoughts.
If you're not watching Shogun yet, I highly recommend it. Fantastic. That's all I got for this week.
All right. I'm going to flip over to stop the recording and the broadcast and hit sound effects.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
God hates Australia.